We're holding on Chavzai number day.
Yeah,
Chavzai number day. The bottom of the beginning of the Gemara. So the Mishnah started off by saying, "Kishem shamayim vodkin oisa, kach hamayim vodkin oisa." Just like the water tests the sota, so also it tests oisa, him.
Oh,
well, right. The question is oisa the man. So you might ask, which oisa? There's two oisa involved. Oh, you've got a second shavuot, that's why. You've got
the wrong one.
You grabbed the wrong one.
Okay, so
the Gemara, the Mishnah had said that Kishem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa, Kachamayim Bodkin Oisa. Hello? So the question is, Oiso Laman, which Oiso are we talking about? There's two men involved with you, after all. There's the husband and there's the boy. But which one are we talking about? There's the one that gets affected. Elam of the Baal, you're going to say that the water affects, the Baal. Why? Baal my oven, what did he do wrong? But which him? Does it mean him, the husband, or does it mean him, the boy? The Elam of the Baal, does it mean the husband? Why? Baal my oven, what did he do wrong? You're going to say that maybe what it means is that if the husband has an Aveda, namely, Rashi says specifically, yeah, this is the general thing we've been talking about throughout the Masechta, so Rashi actually says specifically that he was balled out, that he had relations with his wife after the Kinui and Stira, where at that point she's also to him. The Rambam says a more general thing, that the Einu Menukum Oven means that he's done any kind of Bia Asura, and the Rambam says even Bia Asura is Dirabonon. But you're going to say that maybe the Mishnah means that if the husband has done Bia Asura is Badkilemai, or specifically this Bia Asura, Badkilemai, then the water will also affect him. And the question is, why? If the husband has this Aveda, or any Aveda in general, depending on Rashi and the Rambam's opinion, does the water b'chlal affect her? The Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, and no, the Pasuk says, v'nikah ha'ishmei oven, that the man will be clean of sin, v'ishai hitisas avayna, and the woman will bear her guilt, which means, there's mansha ishmenukamei oven, only when the husband is free of Aveda, again, according to Rashi specifically, that he didn't have relations with her after she became a Sotha, and according to the Rambam more generally, that he hasn't done any B'yis Asuras. Incidentally, the Mishnah, the Mishnah Lamelach, the Magen Mishnah, I forget which, on the Rambam has a whole discussion. What about if the guy did Bias Asuras and then did Tshuva? Would we say that then the Meisota works? Okay. Anyway. But the Lachura, on the other hand, he did it at one point, so maybe not. So that's the argument. On the other hand, Eina Ish Menukum Oven, Eina Mayim Bodkin Oisa. If the man is not Menukum Oven, then the water is not going to test his wife. Which is why in the last parak, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that once there became a point when many people were being Mazaneh, then they stopped doing the Meisota. So you can't say that our Mishnah means that Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa, just as the water tests her and affects her if she's guilty, so also if he's guilty, the water will affect him or her husband. Because if he's guilty, the water doesn't work in the first place. The El of Boil. So you're going to say then that the Oisa of the Mishnah means the Boil. Why? Listening to the Katani Sefer. Well, then let's say, like it says in the next part of the Mishnah. The next part says, Kishem Shasur Labal Kahasur Laboil. So there it uses the word boil. So let it also in the ratio. If Oisa means the boil, then let it say, Kishem Shamayim Bodkin Oisa, Kahamayim Bodkin the boil. So what does it mean? The answer is la'olam la'boil. Yeah, the Mishnah does actually mean that it's the boil who gets affected by the maid sota. When the sota drinks it, if she's guilty and she blows up and so forth, then the same thing happens to the boil. So why does the Mishnah say oisoi rather than explicitly saying boil? The ratio, it's just in the ratio of the Mishnah. I did a ton of oisa, tani oisoi. Since the Mishnah starts by saying kashem shamayim bodkin oisa, then therefore it uses the word oisoi to go together with that. Sefer, I did turn a bowel, turn a boil, and in the Sefer, since it uses the word bowel, there it can more clearly say the word boil, because the two of them are parallel. So yes, in both parts of the Mishnah, it means the same thing. Oisa and boil mean the same person, it's just two different ways of expressing it, parallel to oisa and parallel to bowel. Then the Mishnah continues. Shenema rovo. We said that there were actually two different ways of darshaning this idea that we said that. We only said there was the one. We said in the case of Kashem Shamayim Bird Kenosa, Kachamayim Bird Kenosa, we said because the pasuk says uvo'u uvo. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. One is to say that we're darshaning the fact that the Torah says uvo'u, where it could have said bo'u, and instead it says uvo'u, so you have an extra, you have first of all the whole word is extra, and second of all, even if it had to say bo'u, you have an extra vav. Or you could say it's the fact that we're darshaning the fact that it says twice uvo'u, which actually the Gemara is going to point out soon, it actually says three times. Uvo in these psukim. Uvo, that the water will come into her. So Ibayalu. Ba'u uvo'u, comma. Does the Mishnah mean that we're darshaning from the extra vo, we're darshaning the word ba'u, as well as we're darshaning the word ba'u teaches us that the water comes into her. Uvo'u teaches us that it also comes into and affects the boil. Uvo'u uvo'u, comma. Or are we actually darshaning the word from two different psukim? Tashma. Well, let's look at the next part of the Mishnah. Kashem shasur labal kachasur labal. We say that just like she becomes also as a soita to the husband, so to her husband, so also she becomes also to the boil. Shenema nitma of a nitma. And we're assuming when we say nitma of a nitma in the Mishnah, we say that Rabbi Akiva darshens it that way. We assume that what he means is he's darshening the extra vav, not that he's darshening the fact that it says nitma twice. But the fact that it says nit, it could have said nit, it didn't have to say anything at all. It said nitma, and then not only that, it said vinitma. Okay. Fatayin tibayi, but actually, no, you still have the same question. Nitma on nitma karma, or nitma of a nitma karma. Still, you can ask the same question over there. Does in that drasha also, does it mean that we learn kashem shasur labal, kachasur labayil from the fact that it says vinitma twice? Or from the fact that it only because of one nitma, the fact that it has a vav attached to it, and we're ignoring the other nitma either because, like Rashi said yesterday, we need it for another drasha, or like Tosfos Chan says, because it's needed in the gufay. So what is it? Are we learning from the vav in both cases, in the case of uva'u and in the case of the nitma, or not? Tashma, midkatani sefer. Well, the next part of the Mishnah continues. Rebbe omer shnei pa'am amur b'parasha v'nitma v'nitma. Echad the baal v'echad the baal. So Rebbe says the fact that it's twice in the parasha the word v'nitma. One teaches us that she's also to her husband. One teaches us that she's also to the baal. So Rebbe is darshaning it from the fact that it says the word twice. Mikal, the Rebbe Akiva v'avi kadodish, which means Rebbe obviously has to be arguing with Rebbe Akiva, otherwise he's not adding anything. So therefore, necessarily, it has to be that Rabbi Akiva is actually saying that we learn from one vinitma, from one uva'u, and learning from the vav, and the same thing he's learning from one vinitma, and learning from the vav. Hilkach, so therefore it comes out like this. Well, Rabbi Akiva, shita kroi, ksivi. According to Rabbi Akiva, effectively it comes out, it's the equivalent of the Torah saying six times, because three times the Torah says the word uva'u. First, you have the kohen warns the woman as part of the olo shavua. He tells her uvo amayim amarim ma'elav me'ayich. Two psukim later, the pasuk says he gives her a drink uvo amayim amarim lamarim. And then a couple of psukim after that, it says again that that if she's tomei uvo amayim amarim ma'elav, it's up to bitna v'nafal yerecha. So three times it says uvo. Each one of them, it has a vav, because each one of them, it says uvo. So therefore, since Rebbe Akiva is actually in the vav, as if they were an extra word, you have the equivalent of six words altogether. Why do we need six? Chav l'tzavadida, the chav l'tzavadida. One teaches us that the Eibishter is commanding the water to do its job on her and on him. So the first one uvo teaches us, the ba'u teaches us that the Eibishter commands the water to enter the woman's body and have a certain effect. The vav of it teaches us that the same thing applies to the boil. Chad la'asiyah didah v'chad la'asiyah didah. The second uva'u teaches us not only that the Eibishter commands it, but that it actually happens, that the water fulfills what it's told to do. No, because, you have, for example, So Rashi says that actually Asiya is that the Pasuk is promising us that Eibishter is commanding it's going to happen, it's going to actually happen. Sometimes you have the Eibishter command something and it doesn't come true, at least in, the Matam Asar, not doesn't come true, but, we don't see the Matam Asar, it's Fakhim. You could have, for example, what is the Gemara mentions in Chulin, for example, that the Eibishter commanded the trees to be created, that the wood tastes like the fruit, and they disobeyed. And therefore the Eibishter punished the earth for that. So,
how do you punish him?
So later on, when Adam ate from the Eitz HaDaat, so Arura Hadam Baruch, the Mishnah says, I'm cursing the ground because of you. So the Gemara and Kol explains that actually the ground already deserved a curse because it had produced trees that didn't follow what the Eitz had planned. The Eitz wanted that the wood should be edible also, Eitz tree, that the wood should be just like the fruit. They didn't do that.
If the wood from the tree would be like a fruit,
you
wouldn't have built any houses.
You'd use some wood for building houses, and you'd use some of it for eating. I don't know. The truth, you know, when you get down to it, I mean, this is way off topic of all Gemara, but when you get down to it, you know, scientifically, wood and sugar and carbohydrate and starch and whatnot are made up of the same materials. They're just arranged differently.
Yeah.
So they're actually made out of the same molecule, arranged differently. So yes, it could have been very easy for wood to have been more like starch and be edible. Okay, anyway. But Rashi over here anyway says that the Asiya is, the Eibishter is commanding it, you should know it's actually going to happen right down here, Lamatha Me'asara Tfachim. That's the Asiya. So the second of all teaches us that. And the third one teaches us that she is informed, and he is also informed about how it's going to actually happen. Namely, as we learned in a previous parak, that even though there's different psukim, one talks about Bethen and then Yerech, another one talks about Yerech and then Bethen. So the Kohen informs you, even though in the Shvua I'm telling you that I'm mentioning Yerech first and then Bethen, but you should know it's actually going to be Latzbeis Bethen Velanko Yerech. It's going to be in that order, first Bethen then Yerech, and we need that Shalei Lahoitzi Laz Amayim Amarim in order that people don't think she swelled up and died. It wasn't from the Mayim Amarim. It was a coincidence or something. Tosfos, by the way, Chazayim Abayis quotes from the Yerushalmi that there are cases where we could see that she's swelling up, and we could still say, you know what, it wasn't because she's guilty of the issue of Sirta, it's because she drank water that was poisoned by a snake. So people can think such things. So the Kohen has to actually inform her that it's going to happen in this order, first Beth and then Yerech. The third Ovo comes to teach us that. And again, the Vav of it teaches us that the same thing happens to the Boyle as well. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. Since we have six things to learn from, those are the six things we learn. The Rebbe, whereas Rebbe, who does not darshan in the Vav, the extra Vav, he says, Tosakroi Ksivi, in that case, we only have three times it says Ovo. Forget the Vav. Well then, Chad L'Tzavah, V'Chad L'Asiyah, V'Chad L'Yediyah. So each one of them teaches us, I agree that they teach us the same basic things as Rabbi Akiva says. One, that the Eibush is commanding the water to have an effect. Two, that it's actually going to have the effect. Three, the order in which it's going to happen. But the Rebbe, Kashem Shamayim, Bot Kenosim, Kach Bot Kenosim, and Olay. So where does he know the idea then that the water affects the boil and makes him swell up and then die just as it does her? So he learns it from what he learns it the way we learn it in the following braisa. The pasuk says, "Latzbeis beten v'lan po yorech." The kohen tells the woman that this water is going to come into you and make your belly, and then make the belly swell and the thigh fall off. That means bitnevi yerech shall boil. That means the beten and the yerech of the boil. If you're guilty, then the guy who you were mizana with, that's going to happen to him. No, not first, but we're saying it's going to happen to him. So after I'm a bitne v'yerecha shal boil, so you're saying that's what the pasuk means. Oh, ain't I a bitne v'yerecha shal nivelas? Maybe it means the woman beten v'yerech. No, sure, I'm a bitzav to bitne, but not the yerecha. But the pasuk says that when she actually drinks it, her beten is going to swell up, her yerech is going to fall off. Are bitne v'yerecha shal nivelas amar? So we already know that means her. And we have the extra pasuk that says that it's going to make the belly swell and the thigh fall off. It has to mean bitnevi yerecha shall boil. And so Rebbe says, therefore, I don't need a separate limud for each of the three uvod to teach us that it applies to the boil. Once we know the basic concept that whatever happens to her happens to him, then automatically we know, therefore, that includes the tzavah, that the Eibishter commands it to happen, the asiyah that's actually going to happen, the idea that you should know it's going to happen in this order. You don't need three extra vavs, like Rabbi Akiva darshens it, in order to learn this concept. You learn the basic concept that it happens to the boil just as it does to the nivellus from that extra pasuk, lots of betin v'lan po yarech, and therefore that automatically includes all the three things that we learned from the vavs. V'idach, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? What would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? Oh, I'm sorry, by the way, when we said Yediya, doesn't mean actually that we haven't yet gotten to the point of Kohen informing the woman. Yediya before, in these two Lemudim that we said, according to Rabbi Akiva and according to Rebbe, Yediya means that we have to know what order it happens in. Not yet that the Kohen has to inform her at the time he administers the Shavua, but that she herself, not she, we Jewish people collectively have to know this concept. So we have three things. We have the Edgers commanding the water to work. We are guaranteed it's going to actually work. And we also, Yediya, that we know what order it's going to happen in, that we know the Betin is going to be affected first and then the Yerech. So, V'idach, so what would Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk, Lasbes Betin V'lan Po Yerech, which according to Rebbe, we're using to darshan that it had that the boil, that the boil gets affected? The answer is, Ahu demoidel Koyim de Betin B'reish of Ahadu Yerech. This is that the Koyim has to specifically inform the woman at the time of the Shavuot that the water is going to affect the Bethan first and then the Yerach. Shalala Hoytzi Maaz on Mayim Amorim, because again, we don't want people to speak out against the Mayim Amorim. We don't want that people are going to see that, yes, she swells up and she gets affected and gets sick and dies. People are going to say, you know what, it may not have been the Meisoyta, because after all, the Koyan earlier in his Shavuah mentioned Yerach and then Bethan. He starts off by saying, Yitin Hashem Oysach La'olah B'shuvah B'sechamach, B'sechamach B'sechamach Yerechach Nechelach, that's Bitnech Tzavah. So if you were to just say that, later on, when we see the Betin is affected first, and then the Yerech, people are going to say, you know, that's not what the Kohen said, therefore it's just a coincidence. What? Why does the Torah say that? I mean, we said before, Yerech is chil of Avera Tchila, the Yerech is the first one that's involved in the Avera of Nus.
What happened by the man?
By the man also, so what?
So
both the Betin and the Yerech also, but what we're saying is that ultimately, when the water has its effect, the reason is, the Gemara says before, even though we mentioned Yerech first, because it deserves to be punished first, because it was involved first, but on the other hand, the water actually works according to the way that it goes through the body. When you drink something, it goes into your stomach first, and then it spreads out to the rest of your body. Therefore, Betin first, then Yerech. So therefore, when the pasuk says lots of his betin vlanto yerech, that's actually part of the psukim where the kohen is administering the shvur to the woman, to which she answers amen amen. That means that he's informing her. You should know, even though in the previous pasuk I mentioned first yerech and then betin. That was just because the yerech deserves the punishment more. But when you actually drink it, if you're guilty, you and also the boil are going to have betin and yerech first. If she doesn't say amen, then that's the equivalent of saying that any shoysa, I'm not going to drink. So we learned in previous production what happens. It depends. Is that we had a couple of different days on it.
Wait a minute. He gave her a drink and she has to say amen.
No. Hold on. The saying the amen is before he gives her a drink. He administers her the shavuot. He says to her, if she doesn't say amen, then that's the equivalent of saying, I don't want to drink. In that case, since the Megillah hasn't been written yet, and let alone erased, then that's it. We say in that case, then you're soita, you're a vada. Then they start writing out the Megillah, yeah.
How do we know that?
Well, that's the order in which the pasuk says it. We learned that earlier in the Masechta. I've seen people discuss it. I mean, maybe, but I mean, it's got bitter stuff in it. It's not really something that you use.
She wouldn't want to say amen, she's guilty.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
So in other words, they can't do anything.
Then it means they don't give her the soita water, but it also means she and her husband are going to have to get divorced, and she's going to lose her ksuba. It's the same thing as if she were to actually say outright, I don't want to drink this water. Fine, you don't want to drink this water, because okay.
Maybe you will drink this water.
Okay.
Any woman.
Well, okay.
If she didn't have Vera, she didn't do a Vera with this other guy too. She wants to drink, she probably, he also does.
Maybe she figures that her husband was Zana also. Actually, now that you mention it, it's an interesting thing. When we learned at the beginning of the Amud that if the husband is not Menukum the Oven, then the Mei Sosa doesn't work on his wife, the Kli Yoker says an interesting vote on that. the previous psukim before Parashat Sota, the psukim before that, talk about how a person has to give truma at Meiser and he has to bring the truma to the kohen. The ishet kach of lo yiyu. And Rashi brings down a pasuk over there that we learn from that, the way the pasuk phrases it, that if a person does not give truma and Meiser like he's supposed to, then the ishet kach of lo yiyu, he's only going to have the Meiser, the Eibishter is going to take the rest away from him. He'll take 10%, the Eibishter will take 90% and leave him the 10%. So therefore, what happens, the Kliyakar says, so that's one reason why a man might become poor, because of failing to give Truma and Maisa. Now another reason a man might become poor if he's Mazana. Roya Zonas Yevat Hoy, it says in Mishle, a person patronizes Zonas, he can lose a fortune that way. So what happens? The wife sees that her husband is getting poor. She may start thinking, hey, you know what, he got poor because he's fooling around, he's being Mazana. In that case, I may as well also. Therefore, she becomes a Soita. So what happens? The husband brings her. So now, if it turns out that Itaka was, then it's Itaka not right. Then, you know, she had a valid suspicion. Then in that case, there's no reason she should be punished as a Soita. To a certain extent, she had a valid point. Mashenkin, if it turns out that she was closer to her husband unfairly, that he became poor for a different reason, such as not giving Meisah, that's why we say that's when the Meisah affects her, because that she was closer to her husband unjustly. Anyway, returning to the Gemara. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we can't use the word lots with vetin v'lanto yerach to teach us that that happens to the boil, because we need that to say that the kohen actually has to inform the woman how the meisota is going to work. So therefore, we have to learn it from the vavs. The idach, going back to, so what would Rabbi answer to that? Imken l'stiv krob mitna v'yerecha. Fine, but if that's what the pasuk said, then the pasuk should have said that lots with bitna v'lanto yerecha. Her beten, her yerech, my beten, the yerech. Why does it say generically the beten, the yerech? Shmamin el boil. So that means that the pasuk must be teaching us that that happens to the boil. Therefore, we don't need the vav. We learn it from that pasuk. Okay? And the question is, aim a kula lahachi hudasa. Well, then in that case, then maybe say that pasuk is only teaching us about what happens to the boil. Where do we know then in that case, according to Rebbe, that in fact the beten is affected first and then the yerech? Maybe Taka, according to Rebbe, would be the other way around. The answer is no. Imken, look at the bitten of Yerecha, because then, if it only meant the boil, it would say his beten, his Yerech. My beten of Yerech, Shmamin Atarki. The fact that it says beten and Yerech, generically, without saying Roshem Zachar or Roshem Nekeva, means that it's both. So in summary, what we get then is, Rebbe is saying that from that word beten the Yerech, we're learning that both her and him, both the boil and the novellas are both affected, and they're both affected bet and v'yerech in that order, first bet and then yerech. Once we know that, then we have the various uva'us that teach us the various aspects of it, that we know that we have to be informed the order of things, that the Eibishter commands it to happen, that it actually happens. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, we say that pasuk lots of this veteran v'lan poyeres only teaches us that we have to tell the sota what's going to happen, so that she knows the order and is not nobody's motzi la'az alamayim. And how do we know the same thing happened to the boil? We know that from the extra three vavs. And the Mishnah continued. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, kachay adorish tzachayah chola. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua had said that Tzachayah ben Akasev darish in the same way, nitma of a nitma, using the extra vav. And then we said also in the Mishnah that we said in the Mishnah that the kashem shasur l'baal kachasur l'boil. Now, so actually, till now we've been talking about only two of the nitmas, or even maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, one of them, just the extra vav. Now let's get into So you actually have three times where the pasuk says twice where it says nitma without a vav, and once where it says zinitma with a vav. So we have, according to Rabbi Akiva, we'd have four things to darshan, according to the other opinion, we have three. So why lama? Echad the baal, echad the boil, echad the truma, give Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says one of them we learn that she's also to her husband. One of them we learn that she's also to the boil, again, even if her husband dies or divorces her. And one teaches us that she becomes possible to eat truma. Even Rashi says, even if she's a bas koyen, so she was allowed to eat truma from her father's house, and she's the wife of a koyen, so she's allowed to eat koyen based on her husband. Nevertheless, the fact that she became a soita passels her from truma until she drinks the water. The fourth one we'll get to later. The fourth one, right now we're just dealing with three. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Kavu Chomer. So Rabbi Shmuel says, actually, I have a Kavu Chomer. Ma uma grusha shemuteres l'truma asur l'kohana. Ma drach, a woman who is divorced, who is divorced, is allowed to eat truma, namely a bas kohen who was married to Yisrael. If she's divorced, the zera einlon, she doesn't have any children or descendants from her husband, the Yisrael, then she goes back to eating truma. And yes, asur l'kohana, but she's also to marry a kohen. Zusha asur l'truma. In this case, if the soita, whereas we just said she's also to eat truma, ain't a din, shasur l'kohana. How much more so, we know that she's also to marry a kohen. Now, the Gemara is going to ask,
What's the
Gemara is going to ask later, never mind what's the chiddush, the Gemara is going to ask later, why is this even relevant? Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything about marrying kohenim.
Yeah.
What is where Rabbi Shmuel seems to be coming in from left field over here with something that Rabbi Akiva wasn't even talking about. Tosfos, by the way, points out you could slog up that Kavu Chomer on the face of it. You could argue, look, I mean, a bas Yisrael, a daughter of a Yisrael, is also to eat truma, but she's allowed to marry a kohen. So you see, it's not, you can't always say that anyone who is also to eat truma is automatically also to marry a kohen. Tosfos says, though, that that's not really an upshlog, because what we mean is that she became also to eat truma based on a maaseh. Not just based on who her parents were, who her father was, but based on a maisa of gerushin, or zlus, as the case may be. Also, Tosfos points out, a bas Yisrael is not necessarily permanently possible from truma. If she marries a kohen, she'll become able to eat truma. A grusha can never marry a kohen. A zayna can never marry a kohen. Okay, so continues Rabbi Shmuel, ma tamad leimer v'hi nitzma v'hi lo nitzma. So what are we actually learning from the pasuk? From the two psukim that mentioned that she became Tomei and she did not become Tomei, we have to ask, if you assume that these two are talking about two different cases, well, im nitma lama shoisa, so if she became Tomei, what's she drinking for? The whole purpose of the drinking is to clarify whether she's Tomei. The im lo nitma lama mashka, and if she didn't become Tomei, then why are you giving her to drink? Again, if you know that she didn't become Tomei, then there's no suffix, there's no reason for her to drink. Magid l'chah kosev. So no, what we're learning from this v'hi nitma, v'hi lo nitma, magid l'chah kosev, the pasuk is teaching you shasofik asura, that because of this suffix, we're talking about one woman, did she become tamei or did she not? But because of that suffix, she is now author to her husband, unless she drinks the soita water. Which Tosfos points out then, that's actually, I mean, you could argue that, I mean, of course, once there's a suffix there is a lechumra, of course she has to be author. And what do you need a pasuk to teach us that? So Tosfos says the reason is because if it weren't for the pasuk, we would say that she has a cheskes kashrus. We would say it's not a suffix shakul, it's not an even suffix. We know there was kidri, we know there was stira, fine. But if it weren't for the pasuk, yes, there's a raglayim l'dover that she became tamei. On the other hand, she has a cheskes kashrus that she may have gone as far as stira. She wouldn't go as far as tuma. But therefore, if it weren't for the pasuk, you wouldn't say to be machmir on it.
Yeah, but the stira
to a certain extent, but only because of the gzeres hakasim. That's the point. Only because of the gzeres hakasim. But that's the thing. It's not really a suffix shokul though, because even though yes, there's a raglayim l'dover. But Tosfos talks about that in connection with the next thing that we're going to learn other cases of tumah from that. Yes, other cases of tumah, there's no raglayim l'dover. Here there are. Yes, but on the other hand, there is the cheskes kashrus on her. That should make it that we wouldn't have to be machmir if it weren't for the pasuk. Actually, Tosfos says a little differently. That the vort is. What Tosfos says is something else. The Cheskes Kashrus comes in connection with the next thing. What Tosfos is saying is the chiddush that she's osur because of the suffix is that we consider it as if she was a vadai. We consider when we say that she's osur to her husband until she drinks the soda water, it's not just that she's osur mitzad a suffix. What she's osur as is effectively a vadai. And therefore, for example, the husband may not be chayv malchus if he has relations with her, but it's still an iser eser, it's still a major serious avera, as opposed to if it was just a suffix, then it would be like a not as serious an avera, basically. Mikanat adam l'sheret. Based on this, you can also learn out about the case of a suffix of tumah of sheret or any other kind of tumah. because we can make a Kav HaChomer, Uma Sota Shalai Osav HaShogig K'mezid V'Onis K'rav, and Ma B'Chasota, where Shogig is not considered like Mezid, Onis is not considered like Rotten, namely, if a woman was Mzana B'Shogig, or V'Onis, somebody forced her, or B'Shogig, and actually gives an example, let's say that a man was at home together with his wife and another woman, he meant to have relations with his wife, and by accident he wound up together with the other woman, and she didn't realize that this isn't her husband, so both of them are shogigim. And before I should talk about why Rashi has to point out both of them are shogigim, and the reason is basically because otherwise, if he was mazed and she was shogig, for example, we still might apply kashem shasur labao kashasur laboyal, we would say, fine, she's not also to her husband, but she would be also to the boyal. So the whole discussion about that, to what extent do we say that kashem shasur labao kashasur laboyal, to how far do we extend that, basically. Anyway. So by a sota, she only becomes also if it was mezid, if it was berotzen. And yet also was sofik kivada, and yet we're saying that the sofik of tuma is considered like vadai, and she becomes actually completely also to her husband, as if we knew for sure that she became tomid, except that we have the mezota to check it out. Sheretz, she also was shegig kemezid, onus kirotzen. So when it comes to tuma sheretz or any tuma, where Shogig is just like Mezid, and Onus is just like Rotten. If you become Tomei by a Sheret, the Shogig, you're just as Tomei as well as Mezid. Yeah. Ain't a din, she asked about Sophic to Vadai, so how much more so we should consider Sophic like Vadai? So this is where Tosis mentions the idea that with the Sota, you could argue the Sota, there's the Sota, there's Reglaim, or Dover. Maybe that's a stronger thing. But on the other hand, you have so Tosfos points out that actually without the kinnui, the stira wouldn't be a problem. We're not kosher to her on it. So therefore, there is reglaim l'dava, but it's only based on the original suffix that's based on the kinnui. So therefore, it can be in a certain sense compared to a sheret. Achron didn't talk about the idea that since you have a cheskes kashrus, that makes it more of a suffix shuckle. And once we're learning this concept of Sophic Toma from a Sota, then we can continue learning from the Sota. We can continue learning from the Sota the details of when we say that a Sophic Toma is Tome and when we say it's Tome. Namely, Ma Sota Rishus HaYachid, just like the Sota takes place in Rishus HaYachid, because all you have Sira, you have her and another, you have her and a man that she's suspect with, that you only have two people. That's the definition of Rishus HaYachid. By the way, the definition of Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim as far as Tumah, we talked about this in Nazir, is not necessarily the same as in Hilchos Shabbos. There are places that can be considered a Rishus HaRabim as far as Shabbos, but a Rishus HaYachid as far as Tumah, and vice versa. It basically depends how many people are there at the time, or how many people are likely to be there, shall we say. So just like a Sota takes place in Rishus HaYachid, by definition, Afsheret Rishus HaYachid, the same way a Sofek of Tumah, of Sheret, or any Tumah, only applies in Rishus HaYachid.
Why?
That's what we're saying. We're learning it from Sota. That's what we're saying. We're learning it from Sota. Since we're saying that it's only from Sota that we know the concept that Sofek Tumah is Tomei B'chlal, otherwise maybe we would say Sofek Tumah is not Tomei, then since a Sota takes place in Rishus HaYachid, so we learn from that. Only Sofek Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tomei. So this is where we learn. Sofek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tomei.
It's like a law. Sota can't be Rishus HaRabim.
That's what we're saying. That's exactly what we're saying. The definition of Sota is it takes place in Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, that's what we're saying. Sota can't be Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, right, because if it was Rishus HaRabim, there wouldn't be any Yichud. Yeah, there wouldn't be any Stira. They talk about the Rambam writes that if the husband is Makane, or with two men, and she's Nistir with both of them, then you also have a problem there. You could also have there.
Sheretz,
yeah.
After Rishus HaYachid, you'd be
learning
that. But if you're
touching the Sheretz. We're talking a Sofek whether you touch the Sheretz, not a Vadai. Of course, if it's a Vadai, then you're Tomei. No, if you have a Sofek whether you touch the Sheretz, then only if it's in Rishus HaYachid is there going to be a problem. Because we're learning that from Sota. That's why. Because we're learning it from Sota. If it weren't for the din from Sota, where we have a case of Sofek Tumah, we would not say that Sofek Tumah would make you Tomei. Once we're saying that we learn from Sota that it does, then it only makes you Tomei in the same circumstances as Sota, namely Rishus HaYachid. Now, Tosfos has actually a long discussion over here about the pros and cons of that. Are we actually tackling learning it from Sota, or maybe actually we learn, maybe it's actually Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, this concept of Rishus HaYachid versus Rishus HaRabim, and the Sota thing would just be kind of an asmachta then. And Uma Sota Dava Shesh Bedas Lishol. Also, we can learn another detail. A Sota has a Das to be asked. You could, after all, ask her, did you become Tame or not?
Not necessarily, because she's
an adult. She's a functioning adult. Yeah. Not necessarily we wouldn't believe her. If she said I'm not Tommy, we wouldn't believe her. We still consider her a soita, but at least we can ask her. The same way when we say that a person is suffix, that suffix tumor applies by a sheretz or any other tumor is only somebody who has das lishol. Meaning in other words, well, not the sheretz itself. Sheretz is dead.
Yeah.
What we mean is, in other words, if you have a grown-up who's if you have a grown-up in a Shusha Yachid, and there is a suffix, whether they touch the sheretz or not, they'll be tamei misuffix.
Yeah, okay.
But if you have a child in a Shusha Yachid, and it's a suffix whether they touch the sheretz, the child does not have das lishol. They don't have the das to be asked, did you touch the sheretz or not? Therefore, they will be tamei. Therefore, we won't apply suffix tamei. And for that matter, kalim also. Kalim obviously don't have das, they're domim. Same thing, if you have a suffix tumor of kalim from a sheretz and a shesiyachid, also don't be tahar. Umikan omru, so based on this, the Chachamim said, Dover sheyesh b'das lishol, some a person who has the ability to be asked, did you become tumor or not? Vishas yachid sveiket tumor, vishas rabin sveiket tahar. So if it's in a shesiyachid, just like soita, then the suffix will be dobi tumor. If it's in a shesiyachid, the suffix will be tahar. And v'she'en be'das lishol, if they have no das to be asked, so a child, for example, or a domim, or an animal, whatever, ben v'shasiyah, ben v'shasiyah, mesfeke tar. From this concept, from this limit of soita, is where we learn this basic concept.
That's
what I'm saying. The Tosfos discusses over here the possibility that maybe it is a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and we're using soita to get the exact details of it, or maybe even we're just using it as an asmachta or something. That's the two long Tosfos over here discuss the various possibilities about that. Tosfos also mentions, by the way, another logical reason why, quoting from Tosefta, quoting from Shimon Gamliel, a logical reason why Suffolk Tumma Rishus Yachid is Tomei and Rishus Adabim is Tar. Because in Rishus Adabim you have a lot of people. You can't possibly ask all of them, did you touch it? Therefore, once we have to consider some of them Tahar, then we have to consider all of them Tahar. Whereas in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, there's only one or two people you're able to ask them. That's where Das Lishol. In Chassidus, by the way, it talks about an idea why, I saw this in a mimer of the Rebbe Maharash, why it is that the Sofik Tum of Rosh Hashanah Abim is Tahar. The reason is Rosh Hashanah, the Tznimiyah Senyonim, the reason is Rosh Hashanah Abim represents anyway, the area outside of Kedusha, Tura de Pruda, it's a place of Rabim, it's not a place of Yechida Shel Olam. So therefore, already there's enough Chitzonius over there. If you're going to make Suffolk Tumma Tomei over there, you're giving even more ability for Klippus to get to be Yoinik, to get energy. So therefore, better you should declare it Tahar and deprive the Klippus of the ability to get that out of Rosh Hashanah Abim, because there's already enough of them over there anyway. Whereas Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Yachid Shel Olam, then over there you can take your chances with it. We'll leave off over here, and we'll discuss tomorrow, going back to the question, what exactly, when Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Akiva, he all of a sudden brings in this thing of marrying a Kohen, what's that got to do with anything? We'll talk about that tomorrow. That's the same.